welcome to Unstuck, the podcast for solo business owners who want things to feel better. I'm Libby Langley, business coach, author, and your honest voice of reason when business starts to feel a bit messy. Each week, I help you get unstuck from whatever's holding you back, whether that's overwhelm, overthinking, or offers that just don't quite work, so you can build a business that actually works for you. Here's this week's episode. There's a phrase in the online world that I and other marketeers have been saying for decades, which is you need to build your know, like, and trust factor. Okay. However, one thing that I've noticed over the years is that there's a critical element missing from that. And I hold my hands up here because I have been preaching know, like, and trust for, how long have I been in business? 14 years. But times have changed, I think, and that's what this episode is about. So welcome to Unstuck, the podcast with me, Libby Langley. I'm going to be talking about the whole picture. I suppose the whole marketing cycle, but really specifically this know, like, and trust. And I know I alluded to it last week, but people need to know, like, and trust you before they buy. Agreed. 100%. Absolutely categorically fact, yes. They need to know you, right? Who they are, who you are. They need to like you, because obvs. They need to trust you, because we were not going to buy anything from anybody we don't trust. But that also doesn't mean that they are necessarily going to buy from you, right? And it's all a bit pointless if people don't buy from you because you haven't got a business. You know, you've got people who know, like, and trust you. So really, this is about the difference. What's missing from that know, like, and trust theory, which is the fourth element of buy, and also how you can shift out of being someone's favorite person they follow online, for example, or favorite podcast they listen to, into being the person that they actually work with. Because getting messages from people saying, that was great, that was really helpful, you've made me feel better, doesn't pay the mortgage, right? And so you've got to think about the complete picture when you're running your business. So know, like, and trust, right? I'm sure you have heard this before, but if you haven't, it's been around for a very, very long time. And the original idea is that people only buy from people that they know, they like, and they trust, which is true. It's really common in the social media and online business spaces, and you will see it all over the place. And especially now you've heard this and it's in your head, you're going to see it everywhere, right? It's really great for visibility. Absolutely superb. And for early stage audience building. All right, so if you're kind of starting out, then I would say that this is essential, right? But it only works up to a point, I would say. What it does is it helps create warmth and connection. It makes your audience feel emotionally safe and seen. And it builds loyalty, but not always urgency. And without some element of urgency or intense desire, none of us will buy anything, okay? We've got to really, really want the thing. And it's funny because when I first started my business, because 14 years is a long time, right? A lot has happened to me, but a lot has happened in the world and also in the online business space. So it's you've got to kind of adapt to that. So when I first started, right, I started my business. I did some stuff on Twitter. I did loads of stuff on Twitter, actually. That was one of the really good ways that I first built my business. And I remember there was a website, local website company, and we were chatting on Twitter and they said, you know, I need to meet you because you're everywhere. And it was really funny because in those early days, I already had done quite a lot of networking. So I did know a lot of business people. So I was networking, I was going to events, and I was on social media. And then Twitter was a really, really big one. You know, they used to have different hours where people would go on and chat, you know, like business hour or you know, Leicester Hour or whatever it was, local hours. And it was a really great way of meeting people. It just, social media sadly just doesn't work like that anymore. It genuinely was social back then. And networking, there was a lot more networking. Much more stuff was in person because the online space that we know didn't really exist then. I mean, I've always delivered my training and my services online. I ran a BTEC in social media back in 2012, I think, and that was all entirely online. So I've always been quite a forerunner in that. But, you know, it wasn't necessarily that common. So you had to kind of go out to meet people a lot of the time. And so it was quite easy for people to think that you were everywhere, because in some ways the world was a smaller space. The online space was certainly smaller. It was less crowded than it is now. So it was very easy for me to become the go-to person. And what I did when I started my business was predominantly social media training, and I built it into a social media agency. I also did business coaching and consultancy, similar to business coaching, similar to what I do now. Always worked with very, very small businesses. So my niche in that regard hasn't changed, but the way I deliver my support and advice has over the years. And there weren't many people doing social media then. And plus, I just completed my MBA and my dissertation was in social media marketing strategy. So I was like, you know, I was super qualified. I'd already got a couple of years experience under my belt because I dabbled in it when I worked for the college previously. So it was quite easy to become known. And my branding was great. It was lime green. We traded under the name of Zest. And I say we because I did have a team then. Traded under the name of Zest. And everybody knew the lime green Zest. Even the wall in the office that I had was painted lime green and all of this. So that real consistency of branding was absolutely tip top. And I will openly admit that that has slipped for me. You know, so my YouTube videos, my office is mid-renovation and it looks a tip. You know, there's no branding there whatsoever. 2012, 13 me would be, been 14 me would have been appalled. But also the online space has changed that allows that to be okay. Yeah. So it has good and bad sides to it. That we can just rock up pretty much in our pajamas. And I think more people do get dressed now than they did during the COVID years. But you can just rock up in whatever state to an online meeting. And you don't put as much kind of, certainly online networking, it's not as, what's the word that I'm thinking of? It's not as impactful, arguably, as meeting someone in person. Because you don't necessarily, you don't get to talk to everybody in an online meeting. It depends which Zoom room you're put in and, you know, and all of this stuff. So it is different and it's much more fast and furious like that than in person where you get to sit and you chat and you get to meet people. And if people are wearing branded clothing, you get to notice it much more, right? So things have changed over the years. COVID was great and terrible for online business, because everybody started doing it. Everybody had a course, and completely understand it, right? Because people had to pivot their businesses, but everybody had a course. Everybody was doing stuff online. So those of us who'd been in that space for quite a long time, suddenly was like, whoa, what now? And also it did that extra element made things much more throwaway. Because you can, you know, I mean, blimey, you just today, if you responded to every advert that you saw on in 20 minutes on Instagram, you would have bought 15 different under £30 courses, right? There is so much out there. So to get known is much harder now. And I still think that actually focusing on your micro niche is the best way to do it. To absolutely be the specialist in the thing that you do. And it's hard. And I find it quite challenging to, you know, a social media strategist, whatever I called myself, you know, was really a thing back then. There weren't many people, and now there are loads of people, social media experts, some people who've like just started doing it. And it's different, you know, it's a completely different space, different world, not a world that I want to be in anymore and haven't been for a long time now. So I'm not bitter. Don't take this as me as bitterness. But it's just different. And so, but being really specialist in the way that you do something takes such a level of confidence and conviction that a lot of us really struggle with that. Particularly, like me, you maybe have been in business for a long time, and so you've gained an enormous network of people from all sorts of walks of life, and you're actually pretty good at quite a lot of things in your space. So to then be a specialist is, you know, is harder, right? Because it's like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. Oh, actually, that's really interesting. And so it's about finding the way. The finding the way to be known for the thing. And then once people are in, then, you know, the thing becomes broader, perhaps. That's one way to think about it. But the getting known is harder, and I think you do have to work harder at it. But one way to do that is to be super specialist, right? The likability factor arguably is easier than it used to be because it's easier... Or more, it is quicker, more accepted for people to see you talking, right? So you can make a YouTube video, whack it up this afternoon, someone might find it, they might know whether they like you, right? The accessibility of that is much, much easier than it was, I don't know, not than 15 years ago, certainly. These tools all existed, but we can now just do all this stuff on our phones, right? You don't need any equipment or kit, and it's just much more straightforward to put yourself out there like that so that people can decide if they like you. And I think one of the things about making people like you is that you have to be slightly polarizing. You have to stand for something. You can't just be completely vanilla about everything in order not wanting to stand out or not wanting to rock a boat. Because how will anybody have any opinion at all of you? You don't want to be just kind of nice. Oh, yeah, she's really nice. Okay, well, that's not going to achieve anything, is it? I don't mean that you need to force people to hate you or force people to, you know, be like, culty, weird, following, obsessed with you. But there needs to be some sort of real passion behind it. And certainly I know that the fact that I speak very plainly about things and I'm never afraid to be open and honest about stuff. I always say it with love and kindness. But I know that some people like that and respect that. And some people it's just too much for them. And I was at a meeting, and I'm trying to remember it now as I tell you the story, and I can't remember who it was, which is just terrible. But there was somebody else who was, I remember now, it's fine. And it was on online networking. But somebody else who is a business coach who I know, who is, she does more stuff for corporates, so we work in a different realm. But she said that there's a coach for everybody. And she said, you know, some people, the way that you speak, Libby, you're really direct and you get straight to the point and you sort things out really quickly like that. You know, that really works for some people. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe other people don't like it. And you know when you know something, but then you're like, okay. And she said, but if people prefer a softer, slower approach to stuff, they might come to me. And it was really interesting, actually. And I think old me would have been really offended by that, thinking, oh, God, you know, I'm too much. I'm too upfront. And then it's like, no, but that's literally why people have always liked me or liked working with me, because this isn't necessarily, you know, you don't necessarily go to the pub with everybody, right? But liked working with me. And that's okay. And that's okay. And I can never change it to be really soft and slow because that's not my personality. And that is not that I don't care. And that is not that I don't listen. I'm a very active listener and sit in a space with people. But it's also like, okay, so what are we going to do about it? Because that's just how my brain operates. And this is why we get to, it's really important that we know that we like people, because that is part of the buying process and part of the buying cycle. Because if you don't like them, you're not going to work with them. And if you've got a niggle about, I don't know, then there was somebody I worked with, been to a couple of events this person has put on, and I decided to work with them in their mastermind. And I had reservations, which I voiced directly to them. Certainly some of the language that was used, me as a, you know, as a kind of liberal feminist, it was a bit uncomfortable. But despite those, I went in and it was a mistake, right? It was a mistake. And so I should have listened to those niggles. And I think that that's really important for all of us. You can kind of like someone on the surface, but actually not want to invest in them or not want to work with them or just think, do you know what? Some of what they say is great and is really helpful and is really useful, but that's enough for me. Yeah. So listening to yourself in all of these things is really important. And the trust is, I think there's an element of vulnerability that has to come with people building trust in us. Now, I'm one of those people who is 50% chronic oversharer and 50% absolutely nowhere, you're not knowing anything about me or my life. And it's an interesting neurodivergent sort of swing as to which way it goes. I did a magazine interview yesterday about being a neurodivergent person, woman in business, and what it's been like, my late diagnosis and all of this. And I just kind of told everything. And I did say at the end, I'm really sorry for just oversharing. But when someone gives you the, I mean, I hope it's going to be a great article and really helpful and useful to people. But the, you know, kind of finding your balance there of what makes it sound like you're just always going on and talking about yourself, or what makes you relatable, right? And what you keep to yourself. But for trust, you've got to either have worked with millions of people and keep sharing the same story and over again. You know, someone like Oprah Winfrey, right? We would all trust Oprah. Oprah's a good egg. We know that. But actually, there's not much that, you know, we don't know everything about her. We know her rags to riches story at the beginning, and we know that she's been a really successful businesswoman. We don't know her as a human, really. We see what's presented. So you can certainly, you know, you can build the trust factor with sharing some vulnerability, but also keeping quite a lot private. I like the fact that I put myself in the same space there as Oprah Winfrey, but oh, if only, eh? But I'll tell you who's a really good example, actually, is Dolly Parton. Fantastic woman, so philanthropic, does some really, really good work. But you'd be really hard-pushed to see pictures of her in public with her husband, because when he died, she spoke about him, but she had kind of never really spoken about him. And their life was really, really private. And yet she's arguably one of the most public people that we've had for the last however many decades. So you can do both, right? But that it's what's really, really important is that vulnerability, even if it is a few snippets of curated vulnerability. I'm not saying you lie about stuff, but you share a certain, you know, a certain story about a certain thing, right? Like I've shared before about the challenging times when I got divorced and the fact that, you know, it was really hard running the business on my own and suddenly having to pay for everything, support him out and pay for all that. And I ended up selling the house and buying something smaller and cheaper. And I share all that. And that's a real vulnerability, right? And it's years ago, you know, I don't know, 12 years ago or whatever now. I'm happy to kind of share that because it makes it relatable and human, and it's relevant to what it's like being a solo business owner. But I'm not going to share all this, you know, I'm not going to share anything that was really like personal and behind the scenes because it's not appropriate. So trust can be built with relatability and a level of vulnerability, but that doesn't mean that you have to share your entire life online or with people who follow you. I mean, that would just, you know, that's what therapists exist for, right? But the know, like, trust can become a bit of a trap because you can become someone that people admire, but not someone they hire. And I guess that's why, you know, we publish books, right? Because you can go buy my book. It's on Amazon. It's called Life in Business. It's really, really, really good. And it will really help you to change your business and change your mindset, right? That's one way to, if people are not going to, if you've built up this kind of admiration or respect, or yeah, you know what, they know what they're talking about, but people don't then invest in you, have something like that that is a lower entry stuff, because otherwise you end up doing everything for free, right? And that's not a business. And you might end up getting lots of engagement, but there's no action. And nobody wants loads of likes. It doesn't matter anymore. It used to, I don't know, it used to have some kind of weight to it, but not anymore. And if, you know, the no like trust alone, it doesn't lead to sales unless there's a kind of a really clear next step. So the missing piece of this is buy. And buy, this requires real clarity, real timing, real relevance. Not just trust. You've got to have something that people want when they want it and when they need it, right? Being trusted doesn't automatically mean that you're seen as essential. Oh my God, and it's just a bitter pill to swallow sometimes. But it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. And if you're not careful, you can end up creating content and creating content and creating content. You know, all that time you spend making those perfect reels. What for? If no action is done as a result of it, you're just kind of wasting time and it's not leading to anything, right? So looking at the right kind of metrics makes a big difference. Doesn't matter how many likes you get. It doesn't matter how many views you get. It matters how many people actually contact you and start the conversation about purchasing, right? So there's a shift to kind of being, to go from liked to chosen, because we do all have a choice in who we work with and who we buy from. So you need to really be clear about why working with you is going to change people's lives. And, you know, that's in a big way or a small way, right? It depends on what you do. Not just, you know, you're a stabilizer for people's lives. You're not just a service provider. Why does it make a difference? Why do they need you? Yeah. They know you, they like you, they trust you. Now, why do they need to buy from you? People need to buy from me because it's just sometimes absolutely shit being on your own. And you need a space to come and share what's going on and to say, I've been going for 4 days around this same stupid decision and I don't know what to do. And now I'm frightened of doing anything and just please help me. And that's what my Unstuck Sanctuary is for things like that. And also, I got someone to pay on time who's always paid late and everybody cheers you. You know, it's about structure and support and relief and resilience. And that's why it's needed, right? And that's why I created it, because Christ only knows it's hard work sometimes being on your own. And that's in my narrative, right? Everything I've ever talked about business, I speak those truths. I found a cover of a magazine that I used to produce as part of a social media club that I used to run in my business. And I've got it on the screen in front of me where I can see it. It just says, working alone is no reason to work alone. And it was about, so that was from 2014. And it was about having I did a Google Meet with a friend of mine who was also in business. And we just had this on in the, what was it called then? Google Room or something. And we just had it on in the background and we were working away. But every so often we talk to each other like we were in the same office. Yeah. So I've understood 4 years how hard it can be. And that's why my sanctuary exists. And that's why people need it. Cause I get it. And I don't think it's right. And I don't think we're healthy to be on our own. So things that you can do to add that authority in, so you move from trust to buy, you know, here's what I've been seeing. Your pattern-based credibility. So you're noticing what's going on and you're reflecting it back to people. Clients who work with me often say, sharing anecdotal stuff, sharing testimonials, it's lived results, not theory. And the real reason you might be feeling like this is analysis, understanding, clarity, you know, just putting yourself in people's shoes. People respond to this. You are literally, you know, listening, engaged with this podcast at the moment because what I say resonates with you, because I have been there and felt what you're feeling. And that's why you're here. So that's the know, like, and trust. And the next step is the buy, which you can do by joining my Unstuck Sanctuary. It's pretty straightforward, right? It doesn't need to be complicated. It's a funnel of sorts. I mean, it is, you know, it obviously is, because people start at one place and then move. It's a journey rather than a funnel. But that's how it works. And that's how everything works. And that's the point of doing what we do, right? That's the point of our marketing, is to get people to like us, to make collaborations and all that stuff too, but to, you know, to show that we're genuine, to show that we care, to show that we're going to make your world a little bit better. And that counts for quite a lot these days, because the world's a bit shit a lot of the time. So what have we covered today? That the know, like, trust is a really solid start, but it is not the full picture. It's not enough on its own. You've got to turn connection into conversation, and you need clarity, you need positioning, you need a clear reason for people to act. They need to know how you're going to improve their life by them investing with you, right? Be it £25, be it £2,500, whatever it is. And it is never, ever, ever about just creating more. No, probably creating less is a good thing, right? It's about becoming essential and the go-to in the eyes of your audience. That's what really matters. And that's what really counts. Okay. So, woo-hoo. No, like, trust, and bye. Bye, 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 bye. That's what you need to always remember in everything that you're doing and everything you're putting out there, and the point of having a business. Okay. Thank you for joining me today. And if you want to come join the Unstuck Sanctuary, send me a message. I'll tell you all about it. Or just go to libbylangley.com and you'll find the deets. And I'll see you next week for another episode of the Unstuck Podcast. Ta-ra. Bye. Thanks for listening to Unstuck. Make sure you follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love it if you left a review. It really helps more solo business owners find the podcast and reminds them they're not alone. Want to chat about this episode or suggest a future topic? You'll find me on Instagram @LibbyLangley. See you next week.